Scott, Kadri, and myself, Chairman Ringstaff.
Chairman Ringstaff, thank you very much. Let the record show that Senator Dick Larson, Senator Paul Fisher, Senator Bob McKay, and Vice Chairman Ziegler are present. Today we have with us, from our board, who is going to give us an overview. John, I didn't get a chance to talk with you to see exactly how you want to handle this. I think I'll just turn it over to DNR, and you guys just proceed as you like to. Would you like for us to hold questions, or would you like to have, or do you, is it all right if we just question as we go along?
Senator Farenkamp, I believe it's fine to ask questions as we go along. A little bit of confusion on the agenda. It's not Division of Forestry, it's the Board of Forestry.
Board of Forestry.
Making the presentation. It was on Division of Forestry on the agenda, so there was a little bit of confusion trying to correct that. And Mr. Joe Wilson, the chairman of the board, is had to attend another meeting this afternoon, not able to be with us. And Mr. Mike Barton has been elected to take his place to start the presentation up. Mr. Mike Barton.
Very well. Mr. Barton, you may want to introduce the board members, and I apologize to the board. Probably the first mistake I ever made.
Thank you. I would like to introduce the board members. I'd like to ask them to introduce themselves. I would note that in addition to Chairman Wilson, the vice chairman is also not with us, and a number of the board members had to leave early. So I would like those individual members to introduce themselves and state who they represent as members of the board.
Bob Ellis, I'm from Sitka, and I represent the environmentalist on the Board of Forestry.
And I'm Dick Roth from Cordova, and I represent the Coastal Policy Council.
My name's Sam Bacino, I'm from Anchorage, and I represent the Native Corporations.
I'm Chuck Hutchins, I work as a landman with Anaconda Minerals. I'm from Anchorage, and I represent the Alaska Miners Association.
And that's what you have of a 14-member board. I understand that some of the appointments have not yet been filled as well. We have a few items to discuss with you today, and we're quite pleased at this opportunity. What we intend to discuss is here on the wall. I would point out that the Alaska statutes require the Board of Forestry to report to the legislature as well as the commissioner annually. And as I understand it, that is one of the purposes of today's meeting, is to satisfy that requirement. We would invite questions at any time of any of the speakers. I would like to spend just a few minutes setting the perspective of the forest industry in Alaska for you, and then individual members will discuss these items. The forest industry in Alaska, as you may know, is the third or fourth largest industry. It provides in the neighborhood of 5,000 to 6,000 jobs in Alaska. The forest industry exports are about equivalent to those of the fishing industry in the state. And so it is a significant industry. A lot of it is based here in southeast at present time, but there's a large potential in interior Alaska. I think the productivity of interior Alaska can be compared to lake states, and there's quite an industry in the lake states, as you all know. There's about 120 million feet of demand for lumber in the rail belt. At this time, it's almost all being imported. There's a very minor amount that is produced here in Alaska. There's also about another 30 million feet of demand in southeast Alaska, which is also imported from the Pacific Northwest. So there is quite an opportunity just to meet the domestic demand from in the rail belt area from both state and private lands. The establishment of the state forests at Tanana and at Haines, and I understand that legislature is considering some other state forests, I think will contribute significantly to the development of an industry. Stable land base is an essential component of that that is dedicated to forestry in order to allow the individual operators and owners to attract the capital necessary to make the investments they need to develop the industry. So you all have done, I think, an excellent piece of business in establishing the state forests that have been established. Hopeful that there will be more. But we shouldn't ignore either the potential on the private lands, particularly the native ownerships. great deal of land that's been transferred to native ownerships is forested land and does have a forestry potential. And I think a number of those corporations are looking to the development of a forest industry to provide income and provide jobs on those lands. In market development, there have been a number of efforts to develop foreign markets. The Alaska Loggers Association conducted a trade mission last year, is having another trade mission this year to the Pacific Rim countries. And over the years, there have been a number of other efforts, and I think we need to continue to pursue those to provide employment for Alaskans. The state forester, John Sturgeon, is working on a developing a report right now for the governor on the development of a forest products industry in Alaska and the marketing of Alaskan forest products. So with that brief introduction, I would ask Bob Ellis to report to you on how well the board feels the division of the department have been doing in relation to the Forest Practices Act, which this body enacted a few years back. Bob?
As I noted in the introduction, I represent the environmentalists on the Board of Forestry. As perhaps you recall, the Forest Practices Act, in its declaration of intent, said that the forest resources of Alaska are among the most valuable natural resources of the state and furnish timber and wood products, fish and wildlife, tourism, outdoor recreation, water, soil, etc. As a representative of the environmentalists on the board, I will give you our view of what's happened with the act. And perhaps you noticed when Mike presented his discussion, there was I did not catch any mention of resources other than timber. One of the issues that the environmentalists have been watching very carefully is what was going to happen under the Forest Practices Act with the total resources of our forests. I've had the privilege of being on the board from the beginning and have watched as a board member the progress of the Forest Practices Act. When the act was passed, the environmentalists had taken part in the development and they had great hopes for the Forest Practices Act and the way the whole picture would develop. At first, we were quite taken back. We were concerned. It looked like our worst fears were going to be realized, that indeed it was going to be a timber development act, that it was just going to be another ripoff of the state lands. But as the thing has developed, I've had my ups and downs and my feelings the way things are going. But I think that we've reached a point now where in general, that the environmentalists are happy with the way the thing has progressed, that indeed the mandate intent of the act is being followed by DNR and now by the Division of Forestry, that with our continual prodding, that the Division of Forestry is indeed following the concept of multiple resource use. And it was because of this action outlook of the Division of Forestry that we the environmentalists, were happy to be able to support the proposals for state forest lands that in each one of these proposals for state forests, we have seen written in, and we hope to see carried through, a real intent to recognize all of the resources of our forest, the fish and wildlife and the berry pickers and everything else that is indeed part of our forest lands. I think that we, the environmentalists, do recognize that these state forest lands are being set aside principally as timber producing areas. However, we do feel that the Division of Forestry is following the intent of the Act, along with the help of Game and DEC, and that our state forests will indeed turn out to be multiple use forests. The big test, of course, is going to be what happens with the plan for the Haines State Forest. That'll be our first real measure of how well the Division of Forestry is able to carry through the mandate that we read in the Forest Practices Act. There are lots of other things I could say about the board as it's progressed, but I think that'll do for now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ellis. Are there questions
from
members of the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Sir, could you identify some of the practices that apparently you're referring to here, which you don't like to see happen? Could you touch on them? I'm not quite familiar with what you're trying to do from the environmental standpoint of view.
I mean, some
what are some of the major infractions?
Some of the concerns?
Right.
I suppose the principal concern is degradation of water quality. If water quality is preserved during a logging operation, you can be fairly confident that good logging practices and road building and bridge building practices have been followed.
You're speaking in terms of timber and bark and so forth in streams which would interfere with spawning or
exactly
that nature?
The whole picture of water quality. You don't have cats running up and down the stream destroying spawning beds. You don't cut so close to streams that the banks erode. This sort of thing.
Are you finished, Representative Lista?
Yes, thank you.
Representative Gall.
Thank you. So do I understand then that it's a considered policy of the board, or is it more your own personal feeling that the alternative economic uses of the forest lands be protected? And I'm speaking specifically about economic uses, recreational use, the difference between habitat and sport fishing, very different kinds of management practices necessary to protect sport fishing versus commercial fish habitat, view shed, the utilization of land by guides, things of that sort. Is that then going to be taken into consideration by the board? And do you feel that the board as a whole recognizes that these are economic factors that are important to communities in very much the same way as timber harvest?
In a word, yes. This is an interesting point that, interestingly, the members of the board who aren't here are mostly what some of us call stump jumpers. The real foresters are not here today. But we have repeatedly examined our own positions, and we've taken two or three times we've taken a vote on our position, and the position of the board has been that what we are looking for are state forests in which we will have multiple use, that all the resources will be considered, although I think that we have to admit that timber wood production is usually the number one issue. And I guess that is the position.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
Any further questions or comments?
Just one question, Madam Chairman.
Senator Lassen.
Bob, have you looked at the private sector in relationship to their harvesting practices? Or do you get involved in that? Does the board itself get involved in that procedure?
The board has been involved with that only through its development of the best management practices. And the best management practices were promulgated by the board, and the Division of Forestry enforces these practices with individual forest practice foresters. And one of their big jobs is looking at private lands, and of course that mostly means native lands in Southeast. And the feedback that we get from Fish and Game and DEC is that these forest practice officers foresters, forest practice foresters, are doing a good job, and they're really essential. They're really essential. I'm glad you asked that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ellis, very much.
Thank you.
I'm Dick Brock. I have some brief remarks about two topics, and the first one is service forestry. The Board of Forestry is concerned about the service forestry part of the Division of Forestry's program in the state. Prior to this time, that segment of the business of the Division of Forestry was basically financed by federal funds. And the philosophy behind that is that if a state identifies a program that's important to that state, then the federal government helps it get on the ground and get rolling. And because of the federal, cutbacks, trying to get the budget where it ought to be, these particular program funds have been cut. So the people who worked for the federal government in this state and in that service forestry business were cut, and so were the federal funds that supported the state people that were in that business. They supplemented each other. And so we really have a lack of any real activity in the service forestry business. We don't have on the board your broad state view, of how you cut up the pie. But we as a board feel we should advocate a budget addition to cover the service forestry part of the business that is no longer really established for us.
Madam Chair, I think it's incredibly important in this discussion that, Dick, that you tell us, those of us that aren't that familiar, just exactly what you're talking about when you say service forestry business.
Okay. Let's take the case of the new private landowners. Okay, they probably aren't really established in the forest management kind of business, and yet conducting forestry type business is going to be important to those corporations, and also smaller owners either. And the service forestry concept takes a state person who has the view of how to help those people do timber related business or forest management business, and actually gives them on-the-ground assistance in preparing a management plan for their piece of land or finding a market for the logs they have on their 40 acres and these kinds of things.
Thank you.
And we've heard some testimony from without the board and also from some state agencies, which really impressed me, that the service forestry business that was conducted in the state prior to this time was very effective. In other words, one state agency that may work with the Division of Forestry people on a certain project to prepare a permit or authorize a permit or something, worked hand in hand in doing this thing, and so we're getting comments from other divisions and other departments in the state, and I thought that was quite an interesting point. And the other real important thing is that soon the majority of the interior forests are going to be in either state ownership or private ownership, and of course this is where service forestry will really shine. I have another topic. We've passed some resolutions, as you can see on the board, and one of the first ones we dealt with was the Akatagga State Forest. We want to express our support for that bill, which I understand is Senate Bill 202. We think that the legislature is in a unique position. You can really be the Teddy Roosevelts of our day and our state, and I think that's kind of interesting. The Akatagga State Forest, I should say a couple things about it. It includes around 560,000 acres, and it's on the coast between Icy Bay and Cape Suckling. And at the present time, all the land within that unit is classified as forestry by the State Department of Natural Resources, so it's a natural. This is the best timber resource that the state has. And we can see that by what happened at the Icy Cape No. 2 state sale recently, which will probably bring in excess of $5 million in revenues to the state coffers. There was an interesting thing that happened there, too. There was a great cooperation between the mining interests and the fish and game and the Division of Forestry in order to make this sale go and be a viable thing. One of the things that I guess I don't particularly personally know about that bill is, does it include the land that was selected or that is identified for state selection from National Forest near Cape Suckland? And that seems to be important with some people because, at least in Cordova, the groups that supported that idea supported it because it probably would become state forest land and not agricultural land or disposal or, you know, some of the other things. And we as a Board of Forestry continue to support, you know, a dedicated land base for forestry. That's all the remarks I have.
Senator, answer's no.
Okay.
Thank you.
That is Senator Lassen's bill.
That sounds good.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. I was just wondering, Dick, on the, when you talk about that service forestry program, any expense, don't the private citizens, the people that are involved in the cutting the trees now, the corporations that are in, want to get involved in forestry, don't they have access? You were talking about 5,000 or 6,000 people that work, or as earlier was mentioned, that are involved in forestry. Aren't there avenues already in existence for those people to come to get the expertise and for marketing, planning, developing their own, you know, logging industry, whatever it may be?
Yes,
those things already exist.
And some depends on your ability, you know, to pay. You can go out and hire a consulting management firm to prepare a management plan. And so it has something to do with scale. You know, if you own 160 acres in the interior, the value there is not great enough for you to, you know, you couldn't afford to hire somebody to do that. And it's really a kind of a standard role for a state division of forestry to perform. And there are scales, you know. I don't know where you really draw the line. That's something that should be established somewhere.
But I mean, I guess my question was, though, within the department now, don't you have, or isn't that kind of expertise already available to these people?
Yes, it is. And the division does provide service forestry help.
Right.
But not as a particular program. In other words, if a forester's out in the field to do some kind of business and he sees the need for some service to the landowner, surely they get it. But not as a particular thing. In other words, you don't start to collect the list of those folks who need particular help and then have a program to go out and help. That kind of funding is not there because the people that will be giving the incidental help have other jobs and not service forestry type jobs. This is done on the side now, but it's the way it'll have to be.
Are there further questions? Do you have further comments? Or?
No, I haven't, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm particularly interested in hearing about, Senator Zelensky, I wasn't quite sure what you were talking about.
My name is Sam Vecino.
Welcome, Sam.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. First, I'd like to say it's an honor to come before you today and a privilege to sit on the Board of Forestry. I'll be addressing three matters regarding fire protection efforts of the state. For purposes of my discussion, I'll take them in reverse order. The Board recognizes the value of the Department of Natural Resources and the Division of Forestry's efforts in fire protection and fire management, and we believe they've done a good job and a cost-effective job. Three matters came before the Board upon which we took action during the last 2 days of our meetings. First, we passed a resolution which strongly supports the planned takeover by the state of fire protection responsibility in the McGrath area from the Department of the Interior. This is a large area in the southwestern part of the state and comprises approximately 70 million acres. These acres are managed by various landowners in the area. This takeover will bring into balance the amount of acreage afforded protection by the state with the amount of acreage protected by the federal government. This will greatly reduce the fire pre-suppression costs incurred by the state. Under an agreement with the federal government, the amount of land that's protected by the federal government is state land. The state pays the federal government 6 cents an acre to provide that protection. When the acreages balance out, that pre-suppression cost can be greatly reduced. Approximately $1 million annually will be saved starting in fiscal year 1985 by taking this action. Second, the board passed a resolution endorsing the fire management planning concept, followed by landowners throughout the state. Throughout this process, the lands are classified according to the level of fire protection that they should receive, and this again will result in real dollar savings. The resolution that we passed specifically endorses the concept of applying limited fire suppression efforts where the resource values at risk are minimal. Third, with several modifications suggested by the board, we endorse Senate Bill 366, which is a proposed amendment to AS 4115010, and that bill relates to the fire protection efforts supported by the state. As modified, the bill would clarify that the state's responsibility extends only to lands owned privately by the state or by a municipality. Second, the bill endorses the concept of fire protection commensurate with the values at risk. And as we've suggested a change, it would make clear that that's only consideration once a fire management plan or a fire prescription is in place. Third, it removes the limitation on the number of man hours of emergency fire fighting service that the Department of Natural Resources can use each year. The DNR has felt that this limitation greatly affects their ability to fight fires. In summary, the board believes that the state's fire protection efforts will be greatly assisted in taking these actions.
Thank you. I think the question is, we had an overview the other day, and John of DNR, and John spoke on behalf of the department. I'd like clarification either from you, Sam, or from John when he speaks about just what takes legislative action. For instance, the change in the boundaries, everybody seems to say that makes sense as to whether it's state or federal. And, you know, how much do we need to do legislatively and how much can be done by the department? I think that would be important for me to know. I would hope we could act on, you know, those areas that do require legislation and is legislation in that's needed.
Well, the Senate Bill 366 doesn't really address that problem as I understand it.
Maybe we can get the department to comment on that.
Yes. Well, thank you. We can check titles too as far as it goes.
Thank you.
Are there other further questions in either committee?
Thank you, ma'am. Sam, what percentage of that, 70 million acres, I believe you mentioned there, about what percentage of that is federal and what part is state and or what part would be Native Corporation?
Well, I haven't been involved in the efforts designed to take over the state jurisdiction in the area. I do have some familiarity with the general vicinity. I would say probably 40 to 50% would be federal, and I'm just shooting from the hip here. State ownership probably 20 to 25%, give or take 10 or 15%. And native ownership in that area, I'd hazard to guess because of the number of village and regional village corporations and Doyon Regional Corporation, of course. But I'd say that, roughly speaking, they're about equally split.
Yeah, well, 15% of 70 million acres is a whole bunch of real estate, too, you know.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Further questions or comments? Thank you very much, Sam.
Senator Fancamp, Representative Ringstead, thank you for this opportunity.
John, was Chuck going to talk with us at all? You're shy.
I can ask him a question.
It's been a very interesting day and a half, and appreciate the kind things the board has to say. There were a few items that we didn't quite agree on, everybody, but it's been a very productive 2 days, I believe. What they've asked me to discuss is what some of their future plans are and what their role is. Two of the big things coming up are the review and approval of the management plans for the state forests. By July 1st of this year, the management plan for the Haines State Forest has to be approved by the Commissioner Wanneke, and the Division of Forestry will be passing that plan, placing it before the Board of Forestry and asking their comments, which they will make directly to Commissioner Wanneke.
John, could I ask you please to send a copy of that to the Resources Committee so we can take a look at it as well?
We'll be glad to.
Thank you.
The other plan we're working on is, of course, the Tanana Valley State Plan, which was Senator Fairkamp or Senator Ringstead worked very hard on, and Senator Ziegler worked very hard on in the last year. And that will be probably next year, the year after that, that we will present that in front of the board. Those are the two big state forests that they're looking at, the management plans. Other things the board has decided they'd like to work on, they're very interested in establishing a dedicated land base, combining federal, native, private, state, whatever they consider is a key to the development of the forest products industry in interior of Alaska and maintaining one in southeast Alaska. Looking at what they can do to maybe guide marketing of those forest products, looking at development of a transportation system for resource development. And by resource development, the board looked at not only timber, but mining, agriculture, fisheries, wildlife, et cetera. In other words, combining so they can do to combine these resource uses as far as transportation system in Alaska. Another issue that they would like to tackle in the future is one of taxation of forested lands. They realize that one of the keys in the future to maintaining lands in the long-term management will be based on what the tax structure looks like. If a heavy tax is placed on, ad valorem type tax is placed on lands, it may discourage some private landowners from holding those lands for forest management. If a severance tax like Oregon, Washington, California, and most of the other states have is in place, it would act as an incentive or encouragement to keep those lands in long-term management. And those are the areas that the board has decided to work on in future meetings. And that's basically all I have to say. Thank you for the opportunity. Any questions?
John, looks to me like they have quite a bit of work to be done. If you say that's all, but it looks pretty large to me. Senator Sturgis.
Madam Chairman, while you're here, you know, I'm a logger's daughter, and I've grown up back around loggers all my life and probably learned to cuss from them, but I've tried to forget that part of it. But, you know, one of the things that I would suggest you all take a look, it just came out from, it was a Mellon Foundation grant to the Institute of Social and Economic Research. It's called, Tom Morehouse kind of in charge of it, and it's called Alaskan Resource Development. And it paints a picture, really, by six or seven different Alaskans, economists and various types of the various possibilities, fisheries and timber and oil and minerals and on and on. There are some real problems in timber, and we certainly, the legislature, I think, responded very quickly to trying to support the waiver so that the mills could stay open, and I think there's good support. It's a tough industry to handle because, again, it's one of those, we're talking about foreign markets, we're talking about worldwide competition. And I commend the efforts you're making to look at marketing, to look at the taxing. Those are just basic to the industry. I haven't seen a lot that really says optimistic things about our forest. I can't believe, though, as far as, I think there's some real problems to overcome with export. But surely there are positive things that can be done, at least on a smaller scale, to develop the in-state uses. And it just seems to me that's a critical area to start working on. Are my observations fair or reasonable or not?
I think it's a fair observation. I think the long-term outlook is much better. The industry right now is at the lowest point in probably 30 years. And unfortunately, Mr. Jim Reinierson, who's Vice President of Alaska Lumber and Pulp, has been with us the last mm-hmm. 2 days and could really respond to this much better than I could. So he's in the markets in the trenches every day. But I think there is optimism with the industry, the export market. Alaska right now has 1% of the Japanese market, 1% of the Japanese export market, very small. 2% would double the amount of timber that we could dispose of.
Yeah, but if we're competitive, that's all.
If we're competitive,
sure.
That's right. But I think the long range output is very good for forestry. Mm-hmm. As far as the interior, that's a little bit different story. We're looking at a domestic market there. We have a long ways to go before we even meet that. Our Senator Fairkamp and Representative Ringstead live in Fairbanks. The state is one of the only games in town right now for the timber industry to buy timber sales. And we have no problem selling timber sales. And the loggers and the mills are just begging for more timber. There's just lack of timber there. It's a domestic market. And we're not even close to saturating that market. I think the report that Mr. Barton mentioned about that was preparing, the DNR is preparing in concert with the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, is looking at southeast, the interior of Alaska, the Rail Belt area, and western Alaska separately, is what can be done to develop those the industries in those areas, and the problems and the solutions are more or less unique to those areas. But I think there's a lot to be done, especially in the domestic market in the interior, and we are going to put a lot of emphasis on that.
Madam Chair, I think it would be really interesting if, when this is done, if they could come back with a presentation, because we talk a lot about resource development. It's tough sometimes to get a hold of it, and I think you got good support on a number of us co-sponsored that on your forestry bills, and just the idea of that next step, I think, would be excellent if we do about it.
I think that next step is vital. Representative Liscombe.
Madam Chairman, John, I'm very familiar with the area of the ICB and the Yagataga area, and I know that is one area where we sell saw logs to the Japanese, and I believe they have part ownership in that logging operation or something. My question is this. Are we actually losing money to the state by selling logs in a round instead of having them processed there on site? Would the market be down if we have to go the way we're going now?
Okay, right now, ICB does allow export in a round. That was an amendment to the contract that was 1979 or so. And that company does not owned by the Japanese right now. It was purchased by South Central Timber was purchased by a local person in Anchorage, an attorney there in Anchorage. However, an ICB number 2 timber sale was purchased by a logger in Southeast Alaska. So now it's all American and still an export situation. And the reason the state is making money, the sale we just sold will net almost $6 million to the state in revenue. And it'll employ 60 to 70 people.
But my question already is, can we make more money if we process those logs instead of selling them in a round?
No, we'd make less money. It's kind of a backwards thing. It's like, ICB is unique. The question of primary manufacturing, as anybody that lives in Southeast Alaska will tell you, is a very, very controversial one. The purpose of primary manufacturing is to keep jobs within the state. Mm-hmm. And ICB was an exemption of that because it's remote location, et cetera, et cetera. But normally primary manufacturing, when it's required, like in Southeast Alaska, produces more jobs, keeps more dollars in the state. Generally, does provide more revenue overall. Maybe not revenue just directly to state coffers, but more revenue in jobs and social benefits, economic benefits. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much.
Are there further questions? Well, John, I want to thank you for all the help you've been to my troops and I as we've worked through these. We've had requests from Yagataga, the area around Matsu, and from one other area, I've lost my notes, but to look at establishing state forests, and so we'll be doing some consideration on that. Did you have any others that wanted to speak today?
Unless Stephen, if you'd like to speak for the
just very briefly.
Okay.
I'm here on behalf of United Fish and Alaska, Bruce Wallace, who sits on the board, is down with the Canadian salmon negotiations. And I'd just like to let you folks all know that we will be having input on the forest Haynes plan this afternoon and tomorrow. Our resolution committee is reviewing some resolutions and a position paper, and we'll be sending that to the board. You know, Bruce will bring it to you, and it will also go to DNR and the committee here. So it will be a few more weeks. You'll hear from us.
Thank you. Any way to tell how the negotiations are going?
Well, yesterday the governor said it was going well, but today it wasn't. So.
Representative Galt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering, John, if we might be able, or at least I might be able, to get a list of all the Board of Forestry members and a contact address for them.
I'd be very glad to do that.
John, I wanted to ask you on that. We have two, we have a membership list here.
I'm sorry, I have it here in my packet. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Left blank. I was wondering if that is because of lack of appointment. I noticed this Doyana Fairbanks and Connick.
As of as of January 1st, new appointments due to the board. And I believe it was last Tuesday, we were notified by the Native corporations that they wished to change their, replace the members that were on the board. And one person from Doyon was on his way down here as his representative. They haven't appointed anybody yet. But his house froze up and didn't quite make it. But 48 below, I guess, is what it means. However, the Native corporations are in the process of appointing those board members. It would have been like 1 month ago, those people would have been here. Mr. Les Anderson is the one that was on the board prior to that, and Mr. Dave Williams from Doyon, who were, never missed a meeting, either one of them. But there'll be two new people on the board, apparently.
That froze up sounds natural. I think last year, $1,100 to get water to my house and me down here, or something like that. We can certainly understand that. Thank you for that information. Are there further questions? I have one question of Chuck. You know me, I'm always interested in how the miners are getting along with the timber industry. Everything seems to be going along fine there?
I think it's going quite well, yes. I'm brand new to the board from the standpoint of an alternate position on this trip. The things that the mining industry is more worried about or will be watching for is in the management planning process, what happens to the lands and how they're classified. We're concerned that as much land as possible be remain left open to location systems.
And multiple use.
Okay. Multiple use.
Well, we're very appreciative of your report, and we wish the board luck in their small task of trying to figure out Severus Pack recommendations, marketing recommendations, and forest products industry recommendations or encouragements. It sounds to me like I can have your work cut out for you. Thank you very much for the report. Thank you, John, for making the arrangements for it. Chairman Ringstead, do you have anything?
No, just say
your committee or?
Thank you for taking the time to come tell us, say hello and tell us what's up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well
done.
Oh,
well, call the AG and Nickel Services to get them to